Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Make Smarter Use of Your Time with IMS Software. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. Today's teleconference is being recorded. In today's teleconference, we'll discuss how IMS Software is helping IT make smarter choices in the way IMS databases are managed. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Nick Griffin, Worldwide Sales Advisor, Information Management for System Z, IBM Software Group.
Thanks. Hi, this is Nick Griffin. Thanks for joining us today. I actually work for the IBM Silicon Valley Lab, and I support the IMS Tools Groups, which also support the IMS Sales Teams. I've been working in the IMS area for quite a number of years. Actually, I've got 37 years of background in the mainframe area, but only about 25 or so in the IMS area, where I've actually worked as a DBA, a systems programmer. I've done development. I've actually been a manager of development teams and also done strategy and product management for IMS software over the years. Next. So, you know, over the 20 years I've been working in the IMS area, I did some DBA and IMS systems programming work, and where I worked at, there were a lot of staff members. We actually had plenty of people to do our work, and, you know, everything was pretty easy to do. I didn't really have that many databases I had to deal with. I actually dealt with about 100 databases, and, you know, it was pretty simple. I just kind of watched them on a regular basis, and really the only thing I got complaints about is, hey, your IMS is taking up too much CSA, or, hey, your database is taking too much space. We need to narrow them down as much as possible. But, you know, that kind of changed. And, you know, what really basically happened was there was a downturn of the economy, and things kind of got kind of crazy for a while. And, you know, we had a few buyouts and some outsourcing and things like that started occurring. So things were really changing, and our whole atmosphere was changing. I think as most of us kind of gone through, we've kind of seen the shrinking of the workforce, right? That's one of the things that kind of happens when you start going through these type of economic changes. So we've kind of done that over the time, and it's not like it was 20 years ago. You know, those were kind of the good old days. So now we're moving on into some new times and new eras in our computing capabilities. Next. So, you know, in those days, I used to do a lot of checking on our databases, and one of the things I did was I actually reviewed our pointer checker reports every Monday morning. You know, I would get up on Monday morning when I get to work, and first thing I would do is go through the stack of all the output of our pointer checkers from that ran over the weekend or image copies or any type of reporting so I can get a feel for what the databases were doing and where they were and how we were setting on our databases. You know, it's one of those things, we basically did reorgs on a regular basis. But, you know, I had to look at those reports every day. So it's a stack of reports to go through. So one of the things I tried to do was I tried to create some SAS programs that actually gathered that information off of those reports and then put it into a database to kind of make it easier for me to view so I didn't have to thumb through all these pages to get to where I was going. And I could easily go look at, hey, this database has this much space, has this much free area, it's using up this much data, so I know where I got, you know, in case I need to make a change to it. And we did that. But even all the same, like I said a while ago, we still did reorgs on a weekly basis. We had a scheduled outage. There was plenty of time. Nobody worried about anything. So we always ran these reorgs. But it wasn't very effective. You know, it actually did what it was supposed to as far as, you know, keeping the database cleaned up, but it never really fixed space, right? All it did was fix I/O problems. If there were performance issues, that was resolved. But as far as space goes, if I wasn't watching those on a regular basis, we would run out of space and we would have an outage sometime during the middle of the week. Now, I actually worked for an outsourcer at one time, and we actually had lots of ATMs that were out there, and so an outage was really not a very good thing. But also, you know, taking an outage on the weekend for doing our reorgs for 4 hours was not a good thing either. If you could imagine having ATMs that were offline from midnight to about 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night, that's a pretty strenuous time for people that are getting out of the bars and restaurants and so forth that need money to continue on their fun times during that weekend. And so we got a lot of calls and a lot of issues, but that was our scheduled time, and that's what we did. Next. So the quote Civilization advances by extending the number of important operations which we can perform without thinking of them, was created by Alfred North Whitehead. He actually thought about this and said, hey, you know, we can continue doing things manually for a very long period of time, and that works great, but we're only going to progress at a very slow rate. And if we're going to actually move into a new era of computing, we need to look at automating things. And once we automate things, then really the sky's the limit. Next. So what is autonomics? Well, you know, basically it's a technique that was quoted as being an involuntary action. So involuntary actions, which is more of a medical term than anything else, really relates to like blinking of your eyes. Those are things that we do involuntarily and, you know, we don't think about. It's kind of like breathing, right? So those are autonomics, and it's all based upon things that are part of our nervous system that makes us do those kinds of things. But in autonomic computing, we want it to be basically the same way, right? And autonomic computing is a term that actually came up from an old IBM model back in the late 90s, but it still holds very true today, whereas we're looking for things that are going to be self-configuring, self-healing, self-optimizing, and self-protecting. Those are things that we want to happen to make our computer systems totally autonomic. And that's what we're looking for. We want it to be kind of like the nervous system of the body, where things just happen, and we don't have to worry about them, and things are reacted to automatically and taken care of. And that's really where we're headed and what we want to see in autonomics. Next. So how do we evolve toward that autonomics? Well, this is a diagram which also came from a teleconference that happened a long time ago, but it's a very good pictorial of what we're looking for. You know, like I said, we started off me 20 years ago, and things basically were very manual. And I started looking at it, and I kept thinking, well, you know, if I'll automate this or automate that, it'll make my life a little easier as a VBA or systems programmer. And then if I got a call in the middle of the night, I would say, man, I don't want to get those calls anymore. So what I'd basically do was I'd automate that in some way or fashion. Now, that was very rudimental automation, but it started building. And as we looked at it closer, I would say, well, if this happens and this happens, then I want to do this process. And I don't want the operator to be involved in it, so I want to make that happen behind the covers so he doesn't have to worry about it. And as you move down the row, we get to moving more toward some type of autonomics. Now, that's where we really want to go, right? Because that's where we can actually get the greatest bang for our business buck. If we take a high-level business model and we can dynamically manage it by rules and policies, then we can control the business to make it better, and we can help our business be more competitive. And that's really the goal we're looking for. So we want to take business policies and drive the IT management with those policies. That is what autonomics would be. Next. So how do we get to autonomics? Well, you know, as I said earlier, we have scheduled processes that we run. You know, we used to run scheduled processes on Saturday night. We had a four-hour outage, and they would just happen. And they happen all the time during the week, too. If something occurs, you know, you have an image copy go. There's just scheduled processes going on all the time, right? But what we need to do is, number one, we need to monitor those processes. Now, more than likely, all of us have monitors that are running, and monitors are real-time monitors. So they're looking at instances that are occurring at the time the process is occurring. So when the job starts, the monitor looks at it and says, oh, wait a minute, you're out of database space. Then you have a problem. So he's not really looking ahead. He may be able to give you a little bit of information. He may have some high water marks, but he's not really giving you much of a focus because he doesn't know what you're wanting to know until it starts. So we got to have something that monitors information, and then we got to be able to take that information and put it into some type of repository. So once we have it in a repository, then we can gather the information on a historical basis, and now we can analyze that information based upon changes that occur within the information. So now we've got the information we need, we analyze it, and we can see that we can actually do things to it to make it better, or we can see that, hey, this is growing at a certain rate, I need to think about something that's going to happen in the future. So now I know that I have feedback that actually tells me what is going to occur and what I need to do. Based upon that, then I can make changes that would actually help alleviate those issues, and I can put those into my next scheduling to actually make sure that I correct those prior to an outage. Because an outage is the number one thing we want to make sure we don't have, right? Next. So really with the benefits of doing autonomics is actually reducing the outages and the errors from those processes. It's the fact of giving you, the DBA, more time to work on higher priority tasks. And it helps make things easier for those new DBAs that are coming in to help them get up to speed. So these are benefits that we see and you see as management and as DBAs that are going to help you make things better in the processes that you're doing today. Next. So our vision at IBM is to put autonomics to work for you. And we can do that by having sensors that will help gather the data that we need to monitor and to put in repositories information of historical value that you would require. We can create rules and policies that are business related that will actually help with your business to make decisions on what needs to occur. And then we can automate those decisions and control all the actions that are happening and ensure that the right values, the right things are occurring for your business to be successful. And all of that can be done with a very modern, easy-to-use, simple-to-use technology for our GUI. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we want to do down the road. And that's where we're headed right now today. Next. So our sensors gather the database information and statistics that are occurring on a regular basis through the jobs that are running like HP, image copy, your pointer checkers, your reorgs. We gather all that information on a regular basis. Right now you're probably running those every week or every month or every quarter, and we're gathering that information. Now, you may want to know more often what's happening with your databases. So we want to gather that information on a scheduled basis versus maybe a basis of a quarterly run for a reorg. And we can do that. We can actually run those on a weekly basis under the covers without having to worry about what's occurring with your database and not affecting your database. So we can go out and gather that information. And then if you happen to want to know during the middle of the week what's going on with that database, where it stands today, you can run ad hoc type of information to go gather the information that you require to find out what's going on at that predetermined time. Next. And policies can be user-defined. You can actually go out and create whatever policies that are required for your business to be successful. But what we do is, in our process, we actually create out-of-the-box policies that meet the majority of the needs for all of our customers. That way, when you put the system in place, it has policies that are ready to go for your databases. We're watching the right pieces of information to let you know if your databases are running short on space or running low on performance, what you need to know at the time of the instances. Next. Automation can be done in many different ways. We can do passive autonomics or we can do active autonomics. Now, passive autonomics is basically the process of us watching your data, putting information in historical repositories, and then giving you feedback on what's going on so we can tell you that this database is running short on space and that you need to actually take a look at it. And then basically what we can do is then we can give you an idea of what you need to do to fix that problem. If it's running short on space, we can say that you need to reorg this database in order to correct that issue and give you the JCL and what means there are that needed to make that happen. That's very passive. But for active autonomics, next, we actually go through a much more delicate process. We can actually take the information that we have and look at the sensor data and actually determine, is a policy ready to be evaluated? If it is, we can do this under the covers. We can go out and actually look at what needs to be done to reorg that database. And then based upon definitions that you have already set up, we can determine when is the best time to go out and reorg that database. What is the scheduled windows that you have available for us? With those schedule windows, we can submit the jobs that are of the highest priority and have those actually run during that window time. And then any we miss, we can actually set up for the next window time. Now, we'll sit and track those jobs all the way through completion, and if they fail, we'll give you a notification, or we'll automatically restart them based upon information that is in the policies to actually restart that information from. That way, everything is lights out. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen, if the reorg is going to get done or if they're not going to be done. They're going to be processed and completed as needed, and all of that will be done in the background. And if a problem occurs, then we will let you know what needs to be done by email or WTO or text messaging. Next. So all of this is available today. We started off many years ago with what we would call the IMS Tools Knowledge Base. And we've built upon that. We've given you the sensors to go out and gather the information from each one of the jobs that are running. Then we've given you the policies right out of the box that actually help create the information that tells you that you have issues and tells you what you need to do. And then we have conditional capabilities that allow you to not have to worry about rescheduling or changing your schedule in order to make things happen. I didn't talk about it much, but for conditional reorganization, you don't have to change your reorg schedule. If you've got an outage window, we'll look and see if that database really needs to be reorged or not. And if it doesn't, we just condition code off or we append. So you don't have to worry about it having to change your schedules or go through change control. But all of that's there, and then we'll notify you when everything is complete or if there's an issue. That is what we call smarter IMS software. And all of that comes to you today via IBM IMS Autonomics Director. We have that product available today, and it's ready to go for you to help all this to happen. Next. So what do you do to make things easier? Well, the next thing we did was we created the IBM Administration Console. And this came out about a year ago, and it's actually been out available for quite a while, but we have a brand new GUI that we just came out with, a new look and feel. And it's now available and can be downloaded at any time utilizing the IBM Tools Base. It's a great system, very easy to use, web-based. It doesn't have to have anything on your PC or on your laptop in order to run. Everything is available via the mainframe. So all the processes, all the data, everything is kept on the mainframe and resides on the mainframe. That way, all you have to do is wherever you're at, if you have a smart device or any type of device that can get to the web information, you can actually see what's going on within your systems from a very simple GUI. And that's the direction we're headed. Next. So as you might have noticed, this became available in IMS version 13. Now, like I said, it was originally available with our IMS tools-based products. And now IMS version 13 is also making it available to utilize as their IMS Explorer. So we're going toward the direction of one GUI for all of our products. You'll also notice that down the road that we'll be introducing DB2 tools into this GUI as well. So one great place for all of your information to reside, one great place for you to go look at what you need to do to manage and maintain your database systems. So that is where we're headed, and this is a beautiful system to do that with. Next. The one nice thing about this process is having a single logon for no matter what you're trying to get to. So you can actually set your logon up through a SAP-oriented, RACF-oriented capability and have it completely secure, and then get to anything that you would normally get to utilizing SAP or RACF. So let's say that you have five IMSs running on three different systems, and you've already got SAP set up. You will be able to look at all those from one spot and one logon, if that's the way you have it set up today, which makes it very simple to go in and log on and see what's happening throughout your entire complex. And that's the nice thing about adding more systems to this process. So now as we add IMS version 13, as we add DB2 tools, and hopefully down the road others, then you'll actually be able to see everything in one place with just one logon. Makes it very simple and very easy to use. Next. Now, for the Autonomics Director, we have the capability of on-demand censoring. Now, I've talked about that earlier, but this is a slide actually showing how you can actually schedule an on-demand censoring and make it happen ad hoc. So you schedule this and you chip it out, and then you get your censor data to be updated for any databases that you've asked for. Next. So from the launch key, you can actually see the information that you need to get started. This makes it very simple. You have an opening page that tells you where you need to go or how you need to get to any place. It's a menu-driven, and you can select any of the items and go across to any place you need to. This is a welcome screen that doesn't have to appear. There's actually a checkbox, if you'll notice, down the bottom left-hand side that can be clicked in order to just go directly to the place that you want to go to. But it's a great starting place for people that are beginning in the IMS area or not familiar with the web or not familiar with the tool in order to go and find what they're looking for. Next. Now, during the installation process, we have a complete help screen set up that actually gets you all the way through the installation, and it gives you step-by-step installation instructions. So it makes it very simple to install the processes, the product, and the subsystems that you need. You can select the subsystems, you connect to them, then you can actually unconnect the ones you don't want to see, and you can go out and gather all the object information like databases, PSPs, so forth. All of that can be pulled in from one spot via a very simple help panel. Next. Once you've created all the information you need and you're starting to gather the data, most people don't look at everything. They usually have like a DBA that looks at this group of IMS databases and a DBA that looks at another group of IMS databases. And in order to accommodate that, we give you grouping. So grouping is a drill-down capability that you actually go in and select what IMSs are going to be under what group. Now, you can automatically select this by a DBD or a CA group, or you can go out and customize and create your own groups that you would need, like payroll or create logically related databases or logical databases that are in a group that you want to manage. You can do all that by grouping, which is very simple to set up in this one panel. And then one thing you do see in this panel is, once I have a database, I can actually see the errors. So I can see if it's this database has a problem or not, and then I can know what the status is at any time from this one panel of all the databases I have. Then I can collect and consolidate this down into one single panel with just the databases that have errors on it. Next. Our GUI also gives you a very holistic view of all your IMS databases. So not just looking at one specific database and the data based upon it, you can see that all the databases on the right-hand side, and you can click on any of those databases and get statistical information from those databases. This is information that would have been selected and gathered during your auto-discovery process that you would have done earlier. This information, the information from the far left-hand panel of the databases and the status information, those are free pieces of information that you get when you download the IBM tools-based product. Now, all of the information on the right-hand side, which is the Autonomic Director information, requires Autonomics Director. On the far right-hand side, you'll notice that there's a group of dates for all of your tools. So these are actually tools reports, and if you want to go back and look at what happened during an image copy or if that image copy information changed from one image copy to the next, you can go and go through each one of these reports and see the exact information from that report. And on the bottom, we actually have a group of graphs based upon the sensor information from the selected database on the left-hand side. Next. If you click on that sensor information, then you'll get a group of graphical charts that will actually show you information based upon what has occurred within the history of that database. Now you can actually see the growth and how your database is reacting over time. This will help you in determining what you need to do in the future. So if you're looking at a database that's been growing for 3 months and it hasn't reached a very large amount of growth, then you can say, well, it's going to take a long time for anything to happen to the database. But if you see a database that's spiking very quickly, then you can see that in the graph very simply and know that I need to go react to that database. Here's the problem that I'm having, and here is where it's coming from. So these graphs, and there's a number of them, you can pop these up and make them very large. You can have different ones show up within your system when you're looking at it, so there's lots of things you can configure and customize. But they're very helpful in helping you predict what's going to happen with your database. Next. One of the really nice things about this product is a fully integrated help system. You know, it's great to have an error show up on a database and be able to say, oh, I know I'm getting ready to have a problem, so I need to go out and figure out what I need to do about that problem. But if you look on the far right-hand side, which you can actually click from any of the information buttons that show up in any of the graphs, we give you a full explanation of what that problem is and how to resolve that issue. So now, if you have someone that's a little more novice, that may need a little help, or if you're just not aware of what that message is and you don't want to go look it up in the IMS message manual, we can actually give you all that information right here on the screen, making it very simple and very easy to figure out what's going on with your database and how to resolve it. And not only do we tell you what the problem is, but we actually give you detailed resolution characteristics. So we tell you, hey, if you have this type of problem, here's the best way to fix that, making it simple for you to go out and make decisions on what's your next step for resolving the issues with your database and how quickly do you need to do that. Next. So as we talked earlier, you can actually automate the scheduling of your databases and gathering information, but the other thing you can do is you can automate when you want for these corrections to be done if you're doing fully active autonomics. So we talked about that earlier. There's passive and there's active autonomics. Passive is more or less gathering information and then being told what I can do about it and then me going out and reacting by myself. Active autonomics is the process of the system actually determining if there's a problem and then looking for a schedule window to go out and resolve that problem. In this slide, you can see under this panel, you can actually see where you would actually set up your active windows for active autonomics. This makes it very easy for the system to go out and pick those times when it can go out and do a reorg and do the reorg for the most high priority databases that you have. Very simple, very easy to set up. You can say, hey, this weekend I have an outage capable of 4 hours. So whatever I can squeeze into that to get resolved, the highest priority ones will be done. That way I don't have to really worry about it. I don't have to come in on the weekend to determine if I've got enough time or if it's going to happen. If something occurs and that outage window is shrunk, you can easily go in and change the schedule and it will be automatically affected. So this is a way to get things done simply and without having to be on site all the time to make sure it occurs. Next. And if you're not wanting to have all your databases managed, we have an edit and add list that you can actually set up the databases that you want to have monitored. You may have a database that is not very important, that doesn't require any management, and maybe you don't want it in this list. Or you may have a very high-profile database that you want to be watching on your own. This gives you full capability of managing the databases that you want to manage. And if you're going to use active autonomics, now you can manage the ones that you feel comfortable with, and you can add to this list as you move forward to make sure that these are all managed correctly and you feel very comfortable about it before you go ahead and have the system manage it for you. Next. So how do we get to this active autonomics and this new autonomics director and this administration console? Well, the way you get this, as I said before, was you can actually get administration console via the IBM IMS Toolsbase download. Now, that gives you a very limited amount of function, but in order to get a greater amount of function with the Autonomics Director, you can get that through our IMS Tools Solution Packs. We have a number of solution packs, the IMS Database Solution Pack and the IMS FastPass Solution Pack automatically have this product free. That means you don't have to buy a secondary product to do your autonomics. It's in these packages. If you're already on the package, you have that product available for you. And very soon, we're going to add that same product into our IMS Recovery Solutions Pack and our IMS Performance Solution Pack. All of these products will be utilizing our GUI, our administration console, and have autonomic capability. Currently today, our database and our FastPath are the two that do, and we're actually adding recovery in this next year. So, and performance will be also be added the next year. So we're moving very fastly in that direction. This is a great opportunity to get this information, and if you already have these solution packs, you're set. All you have to do is implement it and start utilizing it today. Now, we realize that we've been adding functionality in these products, and we feel like everything's there, but we know that you have specific needs within your company. So as you start going through these, feel free to give us a call and ask us and let us help you set these up and find out what your needs are so we can make sure and continue to create new functionality that helps meet your business needs. That's what we want to do, and that's where we're headed at IBM. Next. So IMS is happy to announce that we've made it 45 years, but that's not where we're going to end. IMS will continue way down the road. We've got a long way to go with IMS. All of our very, very large customers, all the way down to the small ones, are utilizing IMS, and we know this continues to be there for many, many years down the road. So we're very happy that we're able to bring you greater and smarter technologies for your software, and that's where we want to be. We want to continue to grow as you grow, utilizing your IMS, and your business grows, utilizing the information in your systems. So I want to thank you for your time, and thank you for being here. And now I'd like to turn it back over to the operator.
Thank you, Nick. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a Q&A session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. Next was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference. If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Next, do you need an all-in-one solution to manage your IMS databases, where automation is used to free up your time for more critical tasks? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Not sure or need more information, press star 3. Are you interested in knowing when you have potential IMS database issues before they impact your business? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. If not sure or need more information, press star 3. Would you like to check the status of your critical IMS databases from anywhere and receive an email or text message alert when action is required? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. If not sure, press star 3. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. please let us know if you are interested in receiving information on this solution. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. At this time, I will turn the call over to our speaker while we wait for questions.
I do want to thank you again for joining us today. This has been a great pleasure to be able to present to you this information. We are continuing to move towards smarter software, and I really believe this is a great direction for IBM and for us. And so any questions you have, I appreciate those.
Again, everyone, if you have a question, please press star 1. And first, we'll go to William James.
Good morning. Good morning. We are currently at version IMS 12, and I was wondering if this particular material is downward compatible, or do we have to wait for version 13?
It is not downward compatible to version 12. The version 13 Explorer will be the first one to utilize this this toolkit, so you'll need to go to 13 in order to start utilizing it within the new Explorer for the administration console.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, sir.
And next we'll go to Gia Chankati.
Hi. I guess my question was semi-answered. Prior to version 13, the FastPath had its own repository versus full function. So are you joining those on the autonomic side now?
Well, a repository is a group of vSAMP data sets, and there'll be different ones for recovery and FastPath and full function. So you'll have different groups, but they will connect together in order to feed the Autonomics Director and the administration console. So the answer is partially yes and partially no. They will be separate vSAMP data sets, but they will feed one place.
Okay, and then for the FastPath side, is it going to start working like the full function more of a smart reorg, or just based on the parameters that you set for FastPath, how you want it reorged?
We are working toward a conditional reorg, but it is not there. There will be a lot more sensors added to FastPath in the coming year, so you'll see a lot more information for your FastPath, but we are not at that point yet.
Yeah. And, sorry, one last question then. You brought up the sensors. The sensors are built into things like HPIC or Pointer Checker or the FastPath analyzer in the future. What kind of overhead do the sensors introduce to the actual execution of these utilities?
Yes, very little overhead. We're basically going through and looking at the information anyway, so it's very minimal overhead of what we've seen.
So we're kind of moving in one case to HPIC to get a decrease in resource usage. If we turn on the sensors, do we eliminate the value, the resource savings from HPIC, or we'll still see some savings plus get the autonomics?
You'll definitely see savings and the autonomics. So there's really not that. The overhead is so minimal you will not notice it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Moving on to Larry Johnson.
Yes, I was just wondering about, do you utilize online reorg, or are you going to move in that direction?
That's a difficult question. I don't really have the answer for that one, Larry. That's something we'll have to look at. The online reorg will probably come into play, and we'll have to start looking at how we start feeding it as well into this repository. But at the moment, we do not have it feeding into the repository.
Okay. Thank you.
A And we have no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call back over to our speaker for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, thanks again for your questions. They are very important to us, and I'm making note on the ones we talked about, the reorg and others, FastPath and other information. So we'll continue to look at those. Feel free to open a PMR for any questions you have on this product as you go in and start installing and testing and let us know if there are any things that you need. The OLR is a great one to open a PMR on, so we can make sure to get that in into record, so we'll know that's one of the things we need to work on. We will take a note, but that is, we do need PMRs to help us work on those. And the more we have, the higher priorities they get. So we appreciate you doing those. Thanks again for today, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
This does conclude today's conference. We do thank you all for joining us.